worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords, you will be.
Good morning. We are so glad that you're here today to worship with us, worship our King and Lord. Psalms 95:6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are his people of his pasture. Stand and sing with us.
Bow down, and we worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord, Lord of all lords, you will be. You are King of creation.
Seated. You may be seated. I forgot something this morning. I forgot to put my mic on. I'll have to do that after these announcements. It is good to see you today. We are glad that you are here. It's a marvelous day. Somebody said, how are you doing, preacher? I said, let me stop and think. I said, I'm not hungry, I'm not cold, and I'm not hurting, so I'm feeling pretty good this morning, and I hope the same is true with you, and it's so good to see, and it's good to see those that are coming in right now, Gwen and Dan, my goodness, great to see you. Just come right in, we'll all look at you, okay? Okay, always good to see Dan coming in. Glad you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we encourage you, if you would, inside your bulletin, you'll notice that there's a little piece that you can tear off, and you can place it in the offering plate as it's passed later in the service, that we might have a record of your visit. I've got quite a few announcements. The first one is something that we neglected to do when we had the Lord's Supper, and what did we neglect to do? We didn't take our benevolent offering at the end of the service. So we're going to be doing that today, and that's going to be going toward reaching out to our community. So we encourage you to give generously in that way. If you would like a t-shirt, a church t-shirt, those are being made. I love my church t-shirt with the name of the church on the back, and you can see Bob. If you have a desire for that. And this is Bob, if you might not know. He's sitting here on the front seat. Today is a special day for our ladies and our men. Our men get to serve our ladies at the annual women's ministry tea. So men, bring come this afternoon a little bit before 2 with a white shirt and black pants on, and you're going to get to wear a red bow tie and serve our ladies. So we encourage you in that way. And as you come, if you would like to bring a gift, you can bring some diapers, size 4 and 5, or some wipes. And this is going to be going toward the Family for Families to help the orphans and those that are in foster care. So we look forward to being able to help in that way. Wednesday is our day of prayer. In the morning, we begin in the library at 7:30. In the evening, we are in the fellowship hall at 6 o'clock, and you're invited to join us at either one of those or both of those prayer services. Next Sunday will be our business meeting. That'll take place right after our worship time. And next Sunday, our ladies' Bible study will resume at 4 o'clock. Now, I'm assuming that this afternoon you're not meeting. I'm not sure on that. Is that right? Okay. Okay. And then coming up, not too distant future, May the 2nd is our National Day of Prayer. And that will also be the day of our community giveaway. There's a baby shower taking place on May the 4th. You can find this information in your bulletin. And also, coming up on May the 5th, there is a memorial service at 2 o'clock to memorialize Barbara and Bob for all the many years that they spent. I think I read 50 years on the piano she played. And as a part of that, we're in the process of replacing this piano. So that'll be on May the 5th at 2 o'clock. You're invited to be a part of that. Other announcements I might have missed. Anything? There's others in your bulletin that go out in time a little bit further, so please take the time to read those. A new commandment I give you.
Love one another.
And that's better. I appreciate you remembering last week. As I have loved you, you must
love one another.
By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you
love one another.
And this week, we're just going to spot this one. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, we know what kind is, but compassion I like to think of as love in action. And so often in the Gospels, we read that Jesus had compassion on the people. And we're going to see that this morning with the feeding of the 5,000. He taught them about the kingdom of God, and he fed them. He showed compassion on them. Let's look at our opening scripture this morning. It is from James chapter 1, verse 27. And it goes along with our message today. Share it with me. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Have you ever thought about being polluted by the world? In regards to this passage of Scripture, you know, in the world that we live in today, it's a lot about me. You know that? It's a lot about me. And, you know, when we look into God's Word, it's a lot about others and not as much about me. Bob, would you lead us in our opening prayer?
If you haven't had a chance to walk through the fellowship hall, I invite you to do that before you leave. Our hostesses have done a marvelous job setting their tables. I did need to say a special thank you to Miss Jean and Miss Zelma. They came and stayed and worked hard with me yesterday, helping me for about 2 or 3 hours, and I appreciate that. We also are I'm very excited that the Peach County 4-H is going to send a group of youngsters here for us. Youngsters, how old am I? Of students here to help us, and they're going to help serve, and they're going to help just in different ways. So I'm very excited that we're reaching that group of students, and then that will be a way that we can reach their families as well. But don't forget the diapers and the baby wipes. This is for Families for Families, and we're very excited to be able to offer that to them.
And through all of these ministries, we hope that God makes each of us a blessing. We're going to sing Make Me a Blessing. We're going to sing verse 1 and 2 before we sing the chorus, and then come back and sing verse 3 in the chorus. If you would stand.
Sunshine when darkness is right, making a song.
sorry. Let's stop.
We really practiced to do it
we
right.
We did practice it right. We're going to start again. We're going to sing verse 1 and 2 and then the chorus. One of the best ways that we can be a blessing is to tell everyone of how great our Lord and Savior is. Tell them that He brings light to the darkness. He gives us hope. He restores our hearts. With His breath in our lungs, let us pour out our praise to Him.
So we pour out our praise to you, only you.
At this time, our children may gather here at the side with Mr. Stephen and Miss Tasha for Children's Church.
Thank you. So beautiful. What a privilege it is to be before you this morning with God's word in my hands. I invite you to turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. And we'll begin reading with the 10th verse and read through verse 17. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 10, reading through verse 17. When the apostles returned from their mission trip that we talked about last week, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all of this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to sit before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. We're challenged to be like Jesus. Here we read how Jesus met the needs of these people. And that was what Jesus continually did. And that's our mission as well. Do you ever feel a bit overwhelmed with all the needs of this community? The needs of this county? Not to speak of the needs of the state, the country, the world? Do you ever ask the question, where do we start? What can we do? How do we know where to devote our time, our efforts, our energy, our money? Where do we begin? You might even ask the question, how can we possibly meet the massive needs of this community, this county, the state, the country, the world? I'm here to tell you, the Lord is adequate. The Lord is adequate. Some of you have heard the story about the food ministry at the church that I pastored in Valdosta. It's worth repeating, because I found myself as pastor trying to answer these questions that I just gave to you. And we were in a staff meeting. My youth minister was there, the children's minister, the associate pastor, the music minister. We were all there along with the hostess and a secretary. And I simply asked this question. I said, if we closed the doors of this church and never showed up again, would our community miss us? And our church was located in a downtown situation with a diverse community surrounding us. There were needs everywhere. I said, you know, we're doing a lot of things. We would pay an electric bill. We would help with rent. We would buy some food. We would pay for a bus ticket. We would provide a hotel room. And it seemed like we were spreading ourselves all around. We were doing a lot of things, but I didn't think we were doing anything really good. I said, I want you to pray about this. You know, and you know, to be honest, our staff there were doubtful that the community would miss us if we closed up and never showed up again. So it came back and we got together. And it sounds like an obvious thing. So was the case. My minister of music, my minister of youth said, I think we need to focus on food. And so we did. When someone came in from that point on, when somebody came in and asked for help with rent, What would we say? We can't help you with rent, but we can give you food, and the money you would spend on food you could put towards your rent. We can't help you with the electric bill, but we can give you food. We were focusing on food, and we were wanting to do it good. There's a long story that can be shared in this regard, but this food ministry ended up taking up 5 business places downtown. We had a warehouse with enough food in it to feed the families we were serving for 6 months in case we lost the ability to buy certain foods. And as of today, that ministry continues on. I believe it's approximately 15 years old or something, and they keep up with this. They were in the next few days going to feed the 400th meal to the community. Now, not cooked, but food for cooking with the families. Now, I stop and we ask the question, what if I had approached the church and I said, I want us to, over the next 10 or 15 years, to provide 4 million meals for this community, what would they have said? Some of them would have said, that's impossible. Some of them would pull out their calculator to determine how much it would cost to do that. How much does a meal cost? I mean, if you go to the store and buy the simplest of meals, for yourself, one person, one meal for one person. I mean, a can of beans, a pack of crackers, and water is $2 or more. So let's just think in terms of $2 for a meal with 4 million meals, that's $8 million. How in the world can we come up with that kind of money to do that? But you know something? The church today serves 500, 600, 700 families a month with a week's worth of food to complement their food stamps and whatever else. And it continues on. Continues on. Wow. What we have is this. And by the way, the best part is yet to come on that story. There's not a penny that comes out of the church budget to provide this food. Not a penny. Never has. So when I say that our Lord is adequate, I mean our Lord is adequate. The Lord used the feeding of the 5,000 here to teach this to his disciples as well as to us. We see this in his pointed challenge when he said, you give them something to eat. Now, how many people are we talking about? Just keep that in the back of your mind. We should be concerned for the needs of the people here in Fort Valley and Peach County. We should be concerned about those who are hungry, those who are hurting, those who are homeless, those with physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. Do you realize that in the state of Georgia, there is approximately 600,000 people. I'm sorry, in our country, there's some 600,000 people that have no place that they'd call home. 600,000. Do you know, as of 2022, in the state of Georgia, there were almost 8,000. 2,784 people in families, including children. 479 unaccompanied youth. Teenagers out there on their own, homeless. It was recently reported in Houston County that there were 150 homeless children. 14% of the population of Peach County, as well as Houston County, are living in homes that would have severe problems. There's over 1 million people facing hunger in this state. 335,000 are children facing hunger. They say 1 in 7 children face hunger. 13.3% of Georgia children live in food, what they call food insecure homes. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." What was the lesson to be taught here? The lesson is that Jesus was prepared to meet the needs of the people through his disciples. Three things stand out in this story. The first one being very simple. People are needy. The disciples returned from their missionary trip. In verse 10, they gave an account to Jesus of all that they had done. We're told that Jesus withdrew with them into the vicinity of Bethsaida on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. Mark's account of this event in chapter 6 of Mark, verse 31, it tells that the purpose of this getaway or going to Bethsaida was to rest. Because the disciples didn't even have time to eat. So they got into the boat. They started out across the lake, a distance of about 4 or 5 miles. But it turns out that the trip across the lake was the only rest that they were going to get. Since the people saw them going in that direction, they ran ahead and got over there, and they were waiting on the shore when Jesus and the disciples arrived. When the disciples saw the crowd of needy people standing on the shore, I know they said in their minds, if not vocally, "Can we just stay in the boat and turn around and go back?" How many people were standing there? We always talk about the feeding of the 5,000, don't we? But within the gospel, it also is that it said there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children, which could easily add up to how many? 20,000 people? Try to get a grip on that, okay? Here they are, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee to get some rest, and we're not talking about 100 people standing there. There are approximately 20,000 people there. State Farm Arena, where the Atlanta Hawks play. Imagine the arena being full. It was that many people. 20,000 people. Could you imagine? But the truth is, the fact that this many people would go to the effort to be with Jesus shows how needy people are. If you'd have asked the crowd at that moment when Jesus came up on shore what their greatest need was, many would say for physical healing, because there were the blind, the deaf, the lame, the diseased, people were dying. They would have said healing. But you know, as the day went on, after teaching took place, as it was getting toward evening, I believe they would have said our greatest need is for food. The area is described as a desolate area. There was really no food there. Whether anybody realized it or not, their greatest need was actually spiritual. That's the reason that we find Jesus in the 11th verse teaching them about the kingdom of God. But he realized that the physical needs that a person has, the emotional needs that a person has, the healing that might be needed can be an open door for the sharing of the gospel. People are needy. Times haven't changed. The second thing I want you to notice in this encounter is that we are inappropriate to meet the overwhelming needs of the people. We cannot adequately do that. We're inadequate. Notice the contrast between Jesus' attitude toward the crowd and that of the disciples. In Matthew 14:14, Matthew's account said, Jesus showed compassion on the people. In the 11th verse, it said, he welcomed the people. But just a little bit later in the afternoon, the disciples said, let's send them away. There's a difference right there. I think what we might see in the disciples is some exhaustion speaking out of them. They needed a break. They needed a time of rest. And then in the middle of all that, Jesus said something that's utterly ridiculous. Give them something to eat. Did I hear you right, Lord? What did you just say? You give them something. 20,000 people. The population of Fort Valley more than doubled. You give them something to eat. All the food the disciples could come up with were 5 loaves, 2 fishes, which came from a little boy, according to John chapter 6, verse 9. This whole situation underscores the utter inadequacy of the disciples to meet this overwhelming need. And the manner in which Jesus performed this miracle is important for us. He used his disciples to distribute the bread and the fish to the people. And I'm convinced that the Lord did this miracle that way to teach the disciples that his method for meeting the needs of the lost world is through people. Jesus, listen, Jesus meets the needs of people through people. Wednesday night, we were touching on this for just a minute in relation to how it relates to the book of Philippians. And I began to go back and I asked the question, how is it in your past Did you have needs met in an unexpected way? And I began to share of myself. I shared about how I was at church. Cheryl and I had not been married very long. And we were at church at my brother's church. And as church was over, I was making my way out. And I shook hands with my brother, who was the pastor. And inside his hand was a $20 bill. I shared about how when we were first married, when our parents would come, they would come and visit us with two bags of groceries, you know. People. Helping people. Our Lord meets the needs of people through people. Inadequate people. People who are tired, emotionally drained, busy people. They didn't even have time enough to eat because the people were coming and going. We think that in our day and time is the only time where people had a hectic schedule. Think back to the disciples and their schedule. You know, the Lord doesn't always use people with extra time on their hands. He uses those who are busy and he keeps them busy. And he also uses people that lack resources. The disciples didn't have enough money to buy the food. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 7, the disciples began to do what many of you would do when something like this would occur. They began to calculate. And they began to calculate, and they came up with the whole idea that 200 denarii is not enough to meet the needs of these people. That each of them just might have a little bit of bread. And on top of that, they were in a desolate place. Even if they had the money, the food was not available. They lacked the resources to meet the demand that Jesus had placed on them. He said, give them something to eat. They lacked the resources. How do we do it? How do we do it? I love when churches are challenged by their pastor, and the first question that comes out of a member's mind begins with how? How? Let me tell you, we are to yield our inadequacies to the Lord for Him to use as He pleases. 5 small loaves, 2 fishes, a boy's lunch, we're told. And He said, bring them here to Me. That's the key. Give your inadequate resources and abilities to Jesus. People are needy. We're inadequate too. Meet the overwhelming needs. And the third thing is that Jesus will give His adequacies when we yield our inadequacies to Him to use as He pleases. The first thing I want you to think about is we must yield what we have and not what we don't have. That sounds obvious, doesn't it? But so often we make excuses about what we don't have, and we fail to offer the Lord what we do have. You know, if I just had more money, I'd give generously to the church, if I only had. If I just had the gift of evangelism, I would witness more. If I just had the ability that other people have, I'd serve the Lord. If I was just younger, I'd get involved. Jesus doesn't ask you to give Him what you don't have. He asks you to give Him what you do have. Country preacher went to a member of his church, a farmer. Farmer Ben was what he was known as. He asked him this. He said, Ben, if you had 2 farms, would you be willing to give 1 farm to God? Ben said, yes. He said, I only wish I were in a position to do it. The preacher persisted in saying, Ben, if you had $20,000, would you give $10,000 to the Lord's work? The farmer replied, yes, I'd love to have that kind of money. I'd gladly give $10,000 to the Lord's work. Preacher was working on a trap here because he said this. He said, if you had 2 pigs, would you be willing to give 1 to the Lord's work? The farmer blurted out, that's not fair. You know I've got 2 pigs. The Lord doesn't use what we don't have. He wants to use what we do have as we yield it to Him. The second thing I want you to think about is we must yield what we have to Him to use as He pleases. And this is all about faith. The disciples weren't giving the orders here. They were following the orders. I know in their minds they might have been thinking, eat what, Lord? This not going to work. That sounds like a deacon or two I've had in the past. This ain't going to work. And then somebody else might have said, maybe one of the deacons, I've got a better idea. Jesus said, have them sit down in groups of about 50. Now you can do your math on that if you want to. How many groups of 50 did we have here? They obeyed what Jesus told them to do. We too need to yield ourselves to Him and let Him do as He sees fit. What Jesus did with the boys' lunch is what He does with us when we give Him our abilities and our resources. It said in verse 16 that He gave thanks. He blessed them. Without His blessings, folks, listen to me, without the Lord's blessings, we're wasting our time. Wasting our time. Do you count God's blessings in your life and in your work for Him? Watchman Nee said, God's blessing is a working of God that is far in excess of human calculations. For example, if they had been able to scrape up 200 denarii and buy enough bread to give to everybody a little bit, that's not God's blessing. We ought to work hard. We need to be skilled in what we do. But to have God's blessing is not to expect results in proportion to our abilities, in proportion to our resources, but in proportion to God's abundance. And that's where we step in faith. We step out in faith. So often we're just like the disciples. Don't we want to pull out our calculators and try to determine if we're able to do this or that? You know how our budget is. I don't know if we can do this or not. We must expect God to work beyond all that man can conceive, all that we can imagine. His strength is perfect in our weakness. When we yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to bless and break and multiply and distribute our few loaves of bread and fish to meet the needs of others. Without the Lord's blessings, 5 loaves and 2 fishes were woefully inadequate. With His blessing, it was more than enough. May we covet God's blessing. Jesus kept giving the fish and the bread to the disciples to set before the multitude, and they all ate and they were all satisfied. That's verses 16 and 17. Everyone had enough. They even had leftovers. Don't miss this. We find this in verse 17. The leftovers added up to 12 baskets full. How many disciples? 12. A basket full for each disciple. After they had served the hungry multitude, only after did they each collect their basket full. You know, as we lose ourselves in service for the Lord, He will make sure that we get a basket full after we're done. The requirement, first we got to realize there's need all around us. And that our Lord uses people to meet the needs of people. That we're inadequate. and then we place our faith in Him. We yield what we have to Him, our inadequacies, to use as He pleases. He'll use you to help meet the needs of this community and a hurting world. Then He'll give you a full basket full of leftovers for you as well. I only know what we were led to do in stuff. And the Lord blessed it. And the Lord continues to bless it. Far beyond what we could have imagined. I don't think anybody would have ever imagined that we would give out 4 million meals to that community. But let me ask you something. Would that community miss the church if it closed its doors? You better believe it. You better believe it. And you know how the church was blessed? The church was blessed and thrived as it was a part of this ministry. Because you see, there's a lot of people out here that want to be involved in meeting the needs of the people. You know what we actually did? We said, this is what we do. We told the police department. We told all the churches. If anybody comes to you in need of food, send them to us. We welcome them. We welcome. Might sound like something you'd like to be a part of. I don't know what it is for this church. I think God has something beyond your imagination that He wants you to be involved in regards to reaching this community, the needs of this community. And I think in the end, as it always is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as you bless this community and as you try to reach the physical needs of this community, the emotional needs of this community, the spiritual needs of this community, the blessing is going to be right here. That's where it's going to be. So what is it? You can't answer that question right now. It comes as a result of prayer. And it better be, trust me, it better be the type of thing where somebody's going to say, how in the world do you expect us to do this? How in the world? And then there's those in the church that are going to say, we can't afford that. And as people say, how, and as people say, we can't afford that, we say, praise the Lord, we might have found exactly what God wants us to do. Because He's the one that wants to be glorified. And the beautiful thing is, which should be beyond our imagination, He wants to use you. Father, we thank You. For how You've blessed us. And Lord, our prayer is that You might open up our eyes as to how You want to use us to be a blessing to others and to glorify You. You might make it clear to us that we might see the need, that You might open up our eyes. Use us, Lord. The greatest gift, Lord, was Jesus Christ, a gift of love for the world. Lord, there might be one here this morning that is yet to receive Christ Jesus as Savior.
Lord, if your Spirit is working in their life, I pray that they might respond by faith to receive salvation in Jesus. And Lord, there might be others here today that just might want to come forward and do what we once called rededicate their lives to serving you. Ever how you might be leading today, Lord, may we respond with boldness, without fear, to your leadership. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we share?
I have no sound.
Sang that beautiful song that said, make me a servant. Did you mean what you said? Did you mean it? Lord, make me a servant. Sort of reminds me of that beautiful invitation hymn that says, I surrender all. I pray that that might be our desire. Lord, use me. Use my inadequacies. Lord, what I have, I give to you. Use it. Thank you, Lord, for using people to meet the needs of people. Lord, as your children, our prayer is that you might use us. Open our eyes to the needs all around us. And Lord, each day as we're out and about, make us alert, Lord, to those needs. Lord, I pray for this church that you might open up a vision for what you would have them to be in reaching this community. In Jesus' name, amen.